You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hemlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds. The
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 64 of The Training Dummies, recorded on March 10th, 2014. My name is Daryl, but you can also call me Hend, a resto shaman with a destruction warlock co-main, who always gets his jobs right. With me, as always, is Rob, also known as Holloway, who now has a level 90 panda rogue, because why? Just why?
What else? Okay, so... We couldn't gift our boost, so I found a way to gift it.
I suppose that's a good way to put it. rather than our usual nonsense, tonight we're showing some discipline with Heal Stealer, Smite All the Things, Vero.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yes, thanks. Welcome.
Let's just jump right into the good stuff. How, when, why, where, what, who did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Well, I started playing WoW in February 2007. It was after I moved for school, and I wasn't really doing anything besides schoolwork. And a friend was telling me about this game called World of Warcraft, and I never heard of it. And they're like, here, play the 10-day trial. I was like, okay. So I made a druid, and I've been playing my druid since then, but... this is the first expansion that I've actually been raiding on something else. I consider my druid and my priest to be my mains.
10-day trial is like a crack sample.
It really
here,
is.
The first hit's free.
I was also really bad at it too, but I fell in love with the game. I don't even know why.
Because it's awesome.
Well, yeah, obviously, but.
So, rather than me butcher it, I'll let you butcher it. What is the origin, and how do you say Barrow and the rest? Icone?
I've always said it as Barrow Icone. People say Barrow Cone. People just call me Barrow because it's easier. But the reason I came up with the name is when I first made my trial account, a friend was helping me with it, and we decided on making a Night Elf druid because I wanted to turn into animals. That was my only reason for being a druid. And I was trying to think of a name, and my handle back then was Nako, which everybody online knew me as Nako, which also comes from my name. And I was like, that doesn't really sound like an elf. So he Googled, I guess, something, and Vero Icon is actually the original Latin form of Veronica, which is my name. So I just kind of kept that. But it actually means, like, true image of Christ, so I just pretend it doesn't mean that, because it sounds kind of weird. But it's a little fitting, I guess. I don't know. And it kind of just stuck, so everybody calls me that now.
So I don't feel bad about butchering your name, because you do it too. So
I probably do. I mean, when I first started writing in Wrath of the Lich King, every single person on Vent would go, Vero, how do you say your name? I'm sorry. Like, just Vero, it's fine. Whatever.
So what would you say is your most fond memory in or because of WoW?
I would probably say when I first started raiding, I didn't hit level cap until Wrath of the Lich King because I'm horrible at leveling. I am the worst at it. It's amazing that I have so many characters.
No, you're not.
I cheat. I'm really bad at leveling. So I finally hit level cap in Wrath of the Lich King, and this is back when I was a feral druid, so this is before I even healed. And I remember my first raid was Naxxramas, and I remember they're like explaining all the boss fights to me, and I was like a giddy little schoolgirl the entire raid because I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. But the highlight was when we got to, I forget the boss's name, but it's like the dance boss. And I'm the type of person that I don't half-ass anything. So I looked up strategy guides. I looked up videos. I looked up GIFs. I looked up everything because I was terrified of failing at this boss because they kept telling me that everybody does. And I was the first person, or I didn't die to the boss mechanic, to like the little dance thing, since a melee class does it the whole time. And my guild was so impressed. And I was like, yes, I win at this game because I did not die. And I've never died to the dance.
Nice. That's
freaking awesome. I can't say that.
Yeah, I remember the dance. I was okay. I'd say I hit about 60% success. anyway, so with the expansion, they're giving us a free 90. So what are you going to use that free 90 for?
Mine is going to be a rogue, just because, well, I have one at 85 on a second account, but I don't really want to level 85 to 90, so I decided just to do a rogue for fun. So I've been leveling a rogue up to 60. They are fun. Okay, going into a battleground and running around, because I've been PvPing at low level, she's like 32, and zapping people and seeing them spaz the freak out is the most amusing thing I've ever seen. I will literally run around and just zap everyone, and you just see them like doing all their AoE abilities to find you, and it is the most satisfying thing. So I can't wait to be 90 so that I can repeatedly do this to people and drive them nuts.
Nice.
That's not a panda rogue, is it?
No, it's human. Actually named her after a Lost Girl character.
Who's that?
Kenzie.
Nice.
Got her name unlocked.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. So I said at the top that I had found a way to use my boost as a gift. So what I mean by that is we've mentioned that we've been working on helping the Bitter and Salty guys to do their Stay Classy achievement. And a couple of tunes that I've tried to level, like, all of a sudden, magically, somebody else dings the 85 or 90. and so I was getting sad. But then today I logged in and used my boost on the Panda Rogue, so I was able to get the Classy Pandaren for them. That was the last one they needed, because nobody in their right mind levels a Panda Rogue.
Nope.
So, along with that, I decided to go ahead and do my two of the professions that, in my mind, were the most annoying to do. So, I logged in real quick. I dropped the gathering professions that I had and picked up engineering and enchanting. So I had level 1 engineering and enchanting. And logged out, did the boost, logged back in, boom, 600, good to go. So ran around the Timeless Isle, looted probably about half of the chests out there, and when I logged out, I had close to 7,000 coins, and I didn't even kill anything. All I did was go around and loot the chest. So if you're looking at working towards the legendary, where you need the 5,000 coins for that dude, whatever his name is, Rathion, you can get those easily without a lot of effort. You can just go and open up those chests and get coins out of there. So that's good stuff. Otherwise, I have been working on an Alliance monk who I think he dinged 87 last night, and I'm remembering what a grind Pandaria can be at this point. And yeah, just a lot of lobbies, a lot of alts, having fun, being stupid. Jab is being cool. He's helping run us through some stuff, the lobby stuff, just those little humps that you hit in like Burning Crusade and whatnot. So Jab Cup from the Dots, Hots, and Grave Plots has been helping us out. So it's cool to have buddies kind of picking up the slack there. So other than that, not a whole lot else. So, Ms. Vero, what have you been doing this week in and out of the World of Warcraft?
Well, I recently finished my vacation, so I wasn't really doing anything much in WoW. I got back on Thursday, so I've basically just been playing catch-up and kind of capping my characters with Conquest, because I PvP as well as PvE, and I've also been trying to level my rogue that I will be boosting. So that's pretty much all I've been doing, because I didn't have raid or anything.
You keep saying PvP, and I just, like, I'm, like, this close to trying to do something with it.
You should totally PvP with me. I'm leveling my hunter, actually, as well. I started doing that. My hunter, Katniss, don't judge me.
No.
It's funny. I think it's hilarious.
I saw that the other day.
That's awesome.
She has a side braid. She has an outfit that looks like she's on fire. And I named her pet Cinna.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if it actually made me want to roll hunter and do that. You're a little alliance-y, though.
No, I PvP horde side too. I have two characters geared already.
Okay, so I've kind of not to butt into to whatever was going to happen next, but maybe this is a little sidebar. What I haven't been able to nail something down. I had actually finally decided on Mistweaver, and somebody was like, "Oh, don't do that. It's so stressful. It's real hard. You should go straight up. Just go warrior. Yeah, just go warrior. Just go armed warrior."
Mistweavers in PvP. I mean, it's a little bit different because you can't necessarily fist weave and build up all your chi and everything like you normally would, or build up your manatee like you would in PvE, but I love PvPing on my Mistweaver. It is hilarious watching people try to kill me. You just drop balls at your feet the entire time and they just sit there and smack you and your health doesn't move, and it is the funniest thing ever. Like, I do the YOLO RPGs on mine sometimes, and it's one of the most amusing things.
YOLO RPGs, huh?
Yeah, that's where you do an RPG.
So if I actually decide to do this, I don't want to bounce around between a bunch of characters. I don't just want to pick one and try to get some gear and work towards it and do it. But I don't want to do something that's just gonna piss me off and then I never do it again.
I mean, let me know and I will totally PvP on a character with you. I have a Death Knight.
Will you carry me?
I mean, I don't think I could carry you on the Death Knight. I can carry you at Lion Side.
You know what? I'm about two dimes and a nickel away from about having a 90 monk over on Alliance Side. So,
I've been told I'm actually not that bad at Warrior. Someone told me that today. I think they're just feeding my ego. So, I feel like D2's on my Warrior.
You're only a little bad, not that bad.
They said they were actually impressed when they were watching me stream. They're like, "I didn't know you were actually good at Warrior." I was like, "I didn't either."
Nice.
Who knew?
Awesome. All right. Sorry. Sorry about derailing that.
Random tangent. So what have you been up to, Hen?
Let's see here. Friday we did our normal flex raid. And we did part 3. And it was the first time we killed Thok without bringing in ringers. So that was actually a win for our regular raid team, I would say. Then after that, we did part 1 on our alts. And I took my Holy Paladin in, which I haven't touched all expansion except to get to 90. I think I did part 1. I did part 1 on LFR Siege once. And I didn't even remember I had done that. It was just by looking at the armory. It's like, oh, all right, I guess so. So anyway, I went and healed there. So really, we had a healing team of 2.5 healers. Because I'm not very good on my paladin yet. And my gear was awful. So when we got to the end of the raid, actually in Nerushin, I got the shield. And just putting the shield on bumped me 5 eye level. So I went from 500 to 505 just from that shield. And then after we completed and did Shaw, I pointed out that my weapon was a 450 blue. And to which our disc priest in the raid, who was on his alt, thought that was very, very funny. So anyway, I have now made it my mission, my goal, to gear up this paladin, keep that 450 mace, and out heal him. That is my goal now. Not necessarily on his priest, because if he's actually in the chat room now, so after listening to Vero tonight, he should be really good.
You may be thrown down the road.
Yes. So anyway, it's his shaman. I'll take his alt shaman anyway. We'll get up to. Because that's who he had in the part 1. So as long as I can beat that.
This is a healer challenge, huh?
This is a healing challenge. It is.
Oh, dude. So I'll anyway. Get in on that. I'll get it.
So anyway.
I'll get on. Straight up, man. You tell me which tune you want me to come in on, and we'll do a healer's challenge.
All right.
I want to go.
You gotta take something that you don't normally play. So you couldn't come in on your disc priest.
Yeah, that's...
I come in on my Mistweaver and probably still suppress you.
All right. This is getting...
Just cast Revival and then take a nap. Up.
Right.
Yeah, even nerfed Revival still hits like a truck.
It does. I've learned in LFR when I play my monk, if I look really bad on the meters, to just time Revival perfectly, and then I have like 200k HBS. Like, look, I won!
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Everyone's like, dang, that healer. And then you mouse over it and it's all Revival. And I'm like, oh. Oh.
So, yes, that is my new goal with my Holy Paladin. So, I'm going to have to listen to the episode where we had Mark on. So, I'll make sure I do that. And then I'll be set. Now that I actually have a clue of what the abilities are, because it's been so long, I haven't played it since Kata. So, anyway. That's my new thing here, is my Holy Paladin.
The shiny gold thing, right?
That's yes, it's exactly. Also did some leveling on Earthen Ring with our Stay Classy characters, which apparently you went and leveled your Torn Warrior up to 90 without me because they got the achievement.
Yeah.
That's exactly. That's exactly what happened. Anyway, you've got your DK caught up, so I'm looking forward to doing that some more with my monk since I'm right around the same level, 70.
Dude, and then, between a Death Knight tank and a monk healer, like, it's gonna be silly.
Yeah, it should be. It'll be good. Oh, yes, Brett. Yes, my 450 mace. I'm going to keep that mace, and I'm going to have it equipped, and I'm going to out-heal you. That is my challenge. That is my goal.
Intentionally with a 450 weapon.
It is. I'm going to put Jade Spirit on that mace, just because.
One song.
No way. Put the absorb one. Put the tanky one on there.
I need more parry. That's hot.
All right. And I guess out of game, I've been playing Civ 5. I started a marathon game a couple months ago. I don't think I'll play a marathon game again just because everything takes so long. Like, I'm still on the first one. I'm getting near the end, finally, but that's been... When I haven't felt like logging into WoW, that's what I've been doing. But now that I've got this Holy Paladin thing, I don't think I'll be... I think I'll be putting Civ 5 back on the back burner.
That's a good man.
Anyways, that's it. That's all for that. I think we should get on to some discipline priesty stuff.
Sounds good.
All right, so I'll do this one first, though.
This is Saz from World of Saz, and you are listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Ron.
You did that one.
Yes, I did. Oh, fine, I'll do the real one.
This is Saz from World of Saz, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
I had to play it.
I'm going to tell her we used it, too.
All right. You do that. Heck, I'll tell her.
Vero.
Yes.
I see that you our show notes have just exploded with information here. So I'm going to let you...
what are you talking about? Are you talking about my doodle?
No, I mean, like, you didn't fill in anything, so I'm going to let you lead this conversation. You told me not to! No, you said, do I have to?
You said no.
I said you do not have to.
Yeah, so I printed it out, and then I drew stuff instead. And I wrote show notes, and then there's random doodles of Dispriest on the corners.
I posted one.
I tried to make it look like your logo, but it has wings.
Oh, is that what that was? I saw the picture, but I wasn't sure what it was.
I drew it really small, and it was at, like, an odd angle.
I like it. Okay, well, in this case, then, let's see what you got. Why don't you kind of just drive the bus here for a little while?
So what do you want me to start with?
Stats. What stats do we need?
Alright, so for stats, obviously for a healer, your first priority is spirit, but Dispriests tend to not be very mana starving, so you kind of just want to go until comfortable, really. I think the average Dispriest, keep in mind one that probably already has the legendary meta, usually has around between 10 and 12,000 for progression. You could even go lower. I have friends that have like 7,000. I have 14,000. Or I think last I checked, I was at like 13.5, and that's because there's a lot of people in my raid that like to stand in things that they're not supposed to. So nice. I needed extra spirit to yell at them and then heal them. And so that's why I had to get more spirit. And then after spirit, crit is your best friend. Crit is wonderful and it makes everybody cry. But as a priest, it makes you so happy. And really, if you can put crit in something, put crit in something. If you can reforge out of like a lesser stat, like say haste or spirit, reforge into crit. And then after crit, you want to prioritize mastery. And you want to crit, you want to keep your crit and mastery within a certain percentage of each other. I think the average, I think all the witch on you like 7%. Once you get more gear, it's really difficult to keep it within the frame. But I just try not to go too crazy. So don't reforge into crit and don't reforge into mastery. It's basically what you kind of want to go with. And then haste. Haste used to be one of our main stats, and it's no longer is. I mean, you want to have enough so that you're not casting really slow, but you don't need a lot. So you can, I usually reforge out of haste into crit or mastery.
Where would you put intellect in the value there? I know secondary stats are like ridiculous this tier, so like people are almost ignoring intellect or agility or whatever your main stat is, and just really pushing for those secondary stats. So would you even say to maybe push for crit over the others?
I mean, I wouldn't gem for pure intellect. I mean, every piece of gear you get is going to have intellect on it. So I found it's not something I have to stress over where I'm like, okay, like in previous expansions, you know, we were gemming pure intellect just because of, you know, our mana pools, but it doesn't affect our mana pool anymore. It just affects our spell power and a couple other things. So I don't really pay that much attention to it because all of my gear is going to have it on there. So that's usually where I go with it.
Gotcha. Anything special then? Just stay away from haste and...
Yep. I mean, basically your priority is spirit until you're comfortable. So between 10 and 12,000, depending on if you have the legendary. And I mean, if you're more comfortable with more than 12,000, go for it. If you're more comfortable with less than 10,000, go for it. And then crit, mastery, and haste. And then, I mean, I guess you would do spirit int, but I mean, like I said, you don't gem pure intellect. So I don't usually focus that much on it.
Well, let's get into talents.
Yes, yeah. Talents.
I know that on a couple of occasions, Vero was kind enough to make fun of me for whatever talent I was using.
That's fair.
yeah.
Well, you know, so, I like to show off.
Well, wait, were they passive talents? Because that's okay. Passive is always okay.
Well, they. I think some of them were, but what was I using? And you were like, LOL, what? I think I was using Divine Insight. Or was I using something? I don't know.
I think you were using Power Infusion over Twist of Fate, and I was like,
yes, I was.
Stop doing that, please.
Okay, alright, so let's start at the beginning then. The level 15 talents, those are obviously your, I mean, they seem a little more PvP oriented, or...
Yeah, they tend to be. They're more of our crowd control abilities. For PvE specifically, I tend to just keep Void Tendrils. And that is because on fights like Heroic Immersius, sometimes I will root the little globby things, the bad ones, just because it makes the fight a little bit easier. And then sometimes on Nazgrim, when the adds go completely nutso, I'll Tendril them. You definitely don't want to get Siphoned because people tend to get cranky when you fear things that they don't want to be feared. And I haven't found a situation where I need dominate mind. Even though I love mind controlling things, it's not really something that you need to do in PvE. It's mostly a PvP talent.
Well, that was easy. Fair enough. Then how about the level 30 talents?
Alright, so level 30 is mostly movement. So most dispriests will use angelic feathers and even holy priests.
Serious?
And that's where you just, you know, you put a little feather at your feet and you run over it and then you get to run around all happy and fast. I personally use body and soul, and that what that does is when you shield yourself, you have a chance to get a buff to run fast. The reason I use body and soul is I'm just more used to it. There are certain fights where I do use angelic feather, for instance, Thok, because sometimes dinosaurs like me and don't depend on body and soul for that fight because you'll end up dead, as I've learned. But I mean, I always just use body and soul. It really just comes down to what you prefer. Phantasm, it doesn't really affect anything in PvE. I haven't found where it works quite well. It just basically drops threat, and it's basically a PvP talent is essentially what it is.
Yeah, I've always gotten body and soul. That, like, you when you start throwing out shields on people and you see them just hauling off, that's mm-hmm. The value in that, to me, is way better than the feather.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you can run fast, and you can run fast, and right. you can run fast.
I do, well, a couple of the priests that run in our flex raid use Angelic Feather, I know, because they're always first to run back after a wipe. I've noticed quite a few times a little feather, and then they're way off.
That's what a lot of people use it for.
Yeah. Yeah. Not saying we wipe a lot, but I've noticed it on numerous occasions. You know,
on those rare occasions. Yeah,
rare occasions, that's it, yes, well, yes.
Like when we're raiding.
Yeah, exactly. I do have body and soul for this one as well, myself. Because I do have a level 90 disc priest that I haven't played since I hit level 90.
Oh, but anyway.
Did you take a level 90 talent?
I do that's have a level 90 talent.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
But so did you pick the right one?
We'll find out here.
Yeah, we'll find out. okay, all right, 45.
Level 40.
All right, so this is going to be your mana ability. So first up is From Darkness Comes Light. Now, personally, I do not use this as disc. I haven't really seen any other disc priests use this. What it literally comes down to is it's free Flash of Heals. I use this for PvP. I do not use this in PvE because it's more beneficial to a holy priest. It's not so much beneficial to a disc priest. So the second talent in this tree is actually what you will mostly be using, which is Mindbender. You get this lovely little shadow fiend pet that comes out and it restores your mana. It's 1.75% per swing, and it DPSs, so it increases your DPS, and it's on a fast cooldown. It's 1 minute. I freaking love this pet. And okay. You can even glyph it to look like a little mini Shaw,
yes.
Which makes it even more cool. Enjoyable.
Yeah, that's nice. My
and favorite. And then, yeah, I just love that. I can't even. I've tried using other talents in that tree, and I always end up going back to Mindbender. There's also a Power Word Solas, which if you're having mana issues on boss fights, you can definitely play around with Solas. It replaces Holy Fire, which is one of our main abilities, as well, and it helps, it restores your mana while you use it, and which is 1%, and then it also does a little bit of damage. The problem with using Power Word Solas is you have to make sure that you're using it on a fight where you can constantly use it on cooldown. If you're not using it every time the cooldown is up, you've just wasted everything. So fights where you have to stop DPSing, like for instance Nazgrim on both Heroic and Normal, you have to stop attacking the boss.
Oh, right.
And sometimes if your group's doing really well and you kill all the adds and there's nothing for you to hit and it's off cooldown and you're just kind of standing there twiddling your thumbs, then it's kind of a wasted talent. So I generally just go with Mindbender. But if you are having mana problems, sometimes I use Solas.
All right. Level 60.
All right. So level 60 is all about survival. So the first one is Desperate Prayer, which is the main one that I use. It's a 30% heal just for yourself. It's basically a hailstone, so it's kind of like a free hailstone for yourself. I prefer to use this one because I like to use the ability of Life Swap, which is where you take your health and swap it with someone who's low, and then it makes your health low, and then you use this, and then you're up to full health. So I prefer to use this one pretty much all the time because I don't know. I like a free heal where I don't have to do anything.
That's not bad at all, huh?
And then the next tier, there is Spectral Guise, which is basically just like a little mini stealth. I mainly just use this one for PvP. I haven't used it in PvE at all. And then there is also Angelic Bulwark, which a lot of people do sometimes use this one. It's an automatic 20% HP shield. Yeah, it's passive, so you don't even have to keybind it. You can just kind of chill with it. But like I said, I prefer to use Desperate Prayer because it's a free health stone that does more healing, and you can use it with Void Shift if, you know, bad things happen and you need it.
So this is the level 75. I'm looking through them. I was using Divine Insight. That's the one that I was all about.
Yeah.
And you were like, what's wrong with you, dude? Stop priesting.
I have Divine Insight.
Did not say it
well.
Like that at all. I said it much more nicely than that. Possibly.
I doubt it.
Okay, level 75. Let's run through them, and we'll see why Rob's wrong.
All right, throughput stats. Twist of Fate is your best friend forever. With Siege of Orgrimmar, there are a lot of fights where there are adds. So basically what it does, if you heal or damage something below 35%, you get this buff that increases your healing and your damage. So you basically just keep increasing everything that you're doing. And on fights where there's a lot of adds, you can swap to an add and DPS the add and get the buff. So there are some fights where you can have, you know, over like 85% or 90% of this buff up. So it's basically, it's passive, as he said. So it's, I just love it. I use it on every single fight because of that reason. The next tier is Power Infusion, which is actually something that we used to use, which this requires a hotkey, which actually is a macro for this because I used to accidentally put Power Infusion on someone else instead of myself because you can cast it on anyone.
Oh,
and it,
yeah.
Yeah, discovered that the hard way. I was like, oh, I gave you Power Infusion. My bad. But it is basically a 2-minute cooldown, and it decreases the mana of all the spells that you cast. So it's really nice, but in terms of Siege, like I said, there's just so many adds and so many great opportunities for Twist of Fate that I just haven't found any other talent to be as useful. And then there's Divine Insight, which basically,
after you cast
Penance, well, yeah, but not as awesome as Twist of Fate. After you cast Penance, you have 100% to basically just get a free shield, and you don't get affected by Weakened Soul. I haven't used it at all. I have literally stuck with Twist of Fate on every single fight.
So you don't know if it's awesome, then?
I do know it's awesome, because I still top the healing charts and beat other Disc Priests that are using the other talents. So I like to think I'm doing okay. Possibly.
So Besso's calling you out here. She said that you actually wrote a blog post saying how bad I was because of using the wrong talent.
I did not. She said, I bet she made a blog post. I don't even use my blog anymore.
Shoot.
I can now.
Alright, here's where it goes down. Here's where we find out how bad Hand or I have failed. Level 90 talents. Should I tell you what I do now? Or
yeah, what do you use? And then I'll judge you based off that. And I mean
right,
that
so,
love.
I have gone back and forth between all three, but what I have found for the most part, that Divine Star is freaking amazing.
Okay. I love you again. We can be friends. She chose the right.
Alright. Alright, Hand. Oh, no
I have
fair
Cascade because I'm sure you told me to take Cascade.
That I told you to take
yeah,
Cascade?
Yeah, you told me.
I think towards the beginning of Pandaria, the Cascade was pretty good, especially in LFR.
Yeah, in TOT it was really good, and then other
My high level's
really
478 on my Priest. Like, I don't even have full Timeless Isle gear. Seriously, I log
you
in.
Stop slacking.
Transmute Living Steel and log off. That is what my priest does right now.
Worst. You're the worst priest.
So anyway, aww. I picked it just to have it. So anyway, let's see why I picked wrong after what Rob told me to pick.
All right, so with the level 90 talents, it's all about AoE healing. And it all comes down to fight-specific mechanics. I am constantly swapping this talent. There are no other talents in my discipline little tree that I'm changing constantly. Fight-by-fight basis, I'm usually changing. The basic main one that you will be doing is Divine Star. It has a quick cooldown, it costs barely any mana, and it heals for a lot. It also has a chance to put Divine Aegis up, which is a free absorb, and it's basically one of those low Divine Star abilities, which is usually what I tell people when they ask me about Disc Priest. But it's only good if people are mostly stacked. So if people are like on the other side of the boss fight, it's most likely not going to hit them, and that's basically kind of a waste. So that's kind of the problem with it. So in that case, that is when you would... Until I just dropped my drink on the floor.
Whoa! Dude, that was like some dubstep.
I know. I bumped my drink off my desk. I did it for a dramatic effect. Thankfully, it has a lid on it. Alright, so...
This is where you talk.
I was pausing for dramatic effect. Or something.
Nice. It worked.
I don't know.
It did.
Shut up. All right, so the other level 90 talent that we have is Cascade. Cascade is also very situational, as all our level 90 talents are. It is a really good heal if the raid is just kind of spread out. Like, they're not grouped up enough where you could do Divine Star, but they're not so spread out that you need to use the other level 90 talent. And basically, it actually looks really pretty. And I mean, I know you shouldn't pick a heal based off what it looks like, but
we pick them based upon really cool. Whether they're passive or not. So.
Yeah, but it's not passive. You have to actually physically either click on yourself or click on someone else. And it kind of just jumps around and kind of does little heal. So it's really good if you don't need, like, super burst amazing heal. But, you know, there's just kind of these parts in the fight where, okay, I need just, you know, a little bit of healing here and I need a little bit of healing here. So fights that I specifically use it on are Heroic Juggernaut is one. I've known people to use it on Immersius. I personally do not, but some people do. I mean, like I said, 90 talents, you're pretty much always changing based off the fight. And then our last level 90 talent is Halo. It costs the most out of the other two, but it damages and heals like Divine Star. And what it does is from the point where you are standing, it creates this, like, wave, I guess, this, like, circle that just kind of expands. It requires a 25-yard distance for the most output. And it's really good for fights where, like I said, people aren't stacked up for Divine Star, but they're way too spread out for Cascade to really be beneficial. And if there's also adds, it's also really good. So fights that I use Halo on specifically would be Immersius, both normal and heroic. I use it on Heroic Protectors because it does really good AoE healing when Calamity hits. I also use it on Shaw of Pride Heroic because on Heroic, everyone's spread out all over the place, so Cascade just can't really reach everybody perfectly. I also use Halo sometimes on Black Fuse, and I use it on Nazgrim. So, like I said, you kind of just have to kind of figure out which one works best for you, because what might work for somebody else on this fight might not work best for whatever your raid group does. So it all comes down to boss mechanics and the fight itself.
So knowing the fight. Why do these talents always come down to knowing the fight?
Because you should know your class.
Gosh, Blizzard.
That's ridiculous.
God, I have to know things.
I'll tell you what.
You just smite until you're blue in the face and call it a day. And you
I'll tell you what, though, man. With the boost that just went official, like, we're gonna see a lot of interesting things going on. Yeah. Like, LFR is probably going to be a little painful here.
Yeah, I did two earlier before the show, and someone asked, like, how many people boosted, and I said I did, but I don't think anybody actually noticed my gear. So I have buffed, I have, like, 705k health, so, I mean, obviously I'm not boosted. Or maybe I am. I somehow broke the game in a day and did everything.
Now, are you swapping out glyphs, too? Are you, pretty much just...
I generally keep the same glyphs. The glyphs that I use for the major ones are, I really like the penance one, and basically what that does is it makes it so you can cast penance while moving. There are a lot of fights where it just comes in handy to be able to run around like a crazy person with penance. I am just so used to it. It does increase the mana of it, which kind of sucks. So if you're having mana issues, I probably wouldn't necessarily use it. But it's really great on fights where you have to move. Another glyph that I use is Glyph of Weakened Soul, which anytime you Power Word shield someone, you get Weakened Soul, which means that you basically can't shield them again. So it decreases that debuff by 2 seconds. And then I also use Holy Fire, which just increases the range of Holy Fire, Smite, and Power Word Soulless by 10 yards. And then for some fights, I do swap to... sometimes I swap to Fade, which reduces all damage taken by 10% anytime you fade. And sometimes I also use Inner Sanctum, which for a Dispriest, it decreases the spell damage taken that you get by 6%. So I use that for Juggernaut, specifically for Heroic Juggernaut. And then there are some other ones that some people use, like Purify, which anytime you dispel somebody, it uses less mana, or it heals them. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Mm-hmm. So I like to use that if it's a fight where I have to dispel a lot and I'm not quite used to my mana management in that one. So when we were first working on Protectors, I used it then. I don't use it anymore. And then another one that some people use as well is Binding Heal, which anytime you bind heal, It's where you're healing someone else and then it heals you. So if you need to heal yourself and someone else at once, you can do that. I don't often use it in 10 man. I just don't find it that effective, but I've known of people to use it in 25 man because it also heals a third friendly person, but it costs 35% more mana. So that's usually why I don't use it.
Now, did you say prayer of mending? What's your take on the glyph prayer of mending?
I know some people use it. I just don't. I don't think I've ever used it for a fight. I think prayer mending is just fine the way it is. I think it's really situational. I've heard of people that they don't use it at all in 25 man, but that some people use it in 10 man. But I personally just, I haven't really found a fight where it really seemed to do anything because I didn't really want to get rid of any of my other glyphs.
I will give you bonus points if you can tell me why Prayer of Mending is one of my favorite priest spells.
Because it knocks the person back. That's why I like it.
Because the icon looks like someone's given a high five.
High five!
Nice.
I just like it because it's the most violent spell in our spellbook. Like, you cast it on someone and they just like, they like jut back like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's like high five to the face.
I love that spell. That is the only reason I love that spell.
I mean, that's what it is. It is a high five to the face.
It is a high five.
Or a punch to the face. Nice. Take my heel and you're gonna like it.
Alright. That's freaking awesome. Love it. Alright, so let's jump into the, you know, we used to say rotation. It's like not even the way it goes now. It's priority, whatever it is. So we can get into like some single target first. What would you do for single target healing on a disciplined priest?
All right. So for single target healing, generally you'll mostly be focusing the tank if, you know, things are, if it's like low damage to moderate, like it's nothing where you're like, oh my God, this person's going to die. I put a shield on them and that'll absorb any damage that they take. If it's really hitting the fan, I will do a friendly penance on them, which will also build up grace stacks, which increases the healing that they receive. And if that still isn't working, you know, I'll go into emergency mode and flash heal them. If I don't really need that big of a heal, you can use greater heal or heal. And also, if you're going to use flash heal, sometimes I like to pair it with inner focus, which increases the amount of healing that it does, but it also increases the critical effect of it. So if, you know, if like you really need to flash heal somebody and you really, and you don't have penance up and your shield's already on them, then that's usually what I do for single target.
So are you, are you flash healing very much really? Cause I think I had this conversation. It may have been with Darius from Convert to Raid or one of those guys, but I was talking to them. They were basically like, at this point of the expansion, you shouldn't be flash healing at all.
Yeah, I barely do it. I mean, if I really have to, like someone is in like full derp mode and I have the mana for it and I don't feel like I'm going to be like starving for mana and like grasping for it, then I'll just be like, eh, whatever, flash heal.
Now, if someone's in full derp mode, isn't that what life grip is for?
That is what letting them die is for.
Get over here.
That's what death is for. It's like, oh, shouldn't have been standing in that for 20 minutes.
Yeah, then the problem is of course, if the derp is your tank,
then that's when you yell at the tank. that's usually when I say use more cooldowns because I got nothing left for you, so health stone or die.
Learn to cool down.
Nice.
All right, what about AoE heals?
All right, so AoE healing, yeah, it's basically holy fire, penance, and smite, and that's going to be your atonement healing. Which the way atonement healing works is it, they're smart heals, but they're not the smartest healing in the entire world. They have their dirt moments too. Basically, it'll prioritize anybody that is of lower health. So if there's somebody at 100% and then there's someone at 25%, it'll prioritize the 25% person. But it'll still be healing everybody else, so it kind of works out. And then if you need a lot more healing, like for instance, Calamity in Heroic or Normal Protectors, you need a big heal, you can use your level 90 talent. So that's Divine Star, Cascade, or Halo, depending on which one you take. There's also something called Spirit Shell, which is why some people also hate Disgraced, because basically the way that you use Spirit Shell, or the way that I use it, is you build up your Evangelism stacks, and that happens when you're penancing, smiting, and holy firing the boss or anything evil within the raid. and you want to build up your Archangel. And when you build up Archangel, you use that with your level 90 talent, or you can use that with Spirit Shell. And you get Spirit Shell up on all of the groups in your raid. So if it's 10 man, you just have to worry about two groups. If it's 25, obviously, you have to kind of Spirit Shell a little bit harder. And that's more of a preemptive heal. So that really depends on knowing the fight and knowing, okay, this big damage is going to happen, so I'm going to put Spirit Shell up, and then you'll notice the health bars don't use. And all the other healers hate you, but you're grinning because you're totally topping the charts, and that means you win, right?
Always.
Yeah, pretty much. Always. That sounds right.
Do you Spirit Shell on cooldown, or do you, is one of those like, all right, I know this is about to happen, so...
On farm content, I will Spirit Shell on cooldown just to see how much it can suppress other people. And I realize that's really, really mean. But sometimes awesome. You're just like doing, you're healing a boss, and I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm holy fire, penance, smite, smite, smite. I'm bored. I went, let me Spirit Shell this. 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 And you'll just notice the health bars don't move. And then the healers are kind of be like, can you, like, take a nap for half this boss? Because we have nothing to heal. It's like, sorry. So, I mean, it's really, it's all about knowing mechanics. So sometimes what I will do for a boss fight is obviously I'll check sites like How to Priest or talk to friends that have done the boss fight and find out, okay, this is when I need to Spirit Shell. This is when I shouldn't Spirit Shell. And then... sometimes I'll let it go off. Like, for instance, again, Calamity, I will let it go off to see what it drops people's health to. And then, okay, for each Calamity, I need to try and Spirit Shell that because that person almost died. Mm-hmm. So it's all about knowing boss fights is what Spirit Shell comes down to. Because you don't really need to Prayer of Healing unless you have Spirit Shell.
So how much time do you give yourself then before some big damage? And does that depend on the size of the group then, or...?
Yeah, it'll depend on the size of the group. For my 10-man, I usually try to give myself, like, 5 or so seconds, because the way that I Spirit Shell, the way that I think most people Spirit Shell, is you press Archangel first, mm-hmm. and then you press Inner Focus, because that'll increase the crit of it, and then you press Spirit Shell, and then you press Prayer of Healing. So you have all these things that you have to click before you can actually get to the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So I usually try to give myself a couple seconds.
And then do you continue to spam... Prayer of Healing until Spirit Shell is gone. Okay. Yeah. So through the whole duration of it.
Yeah, unless, you know, you have to stop for whatever reason. Like, sometimes I'll be Spirit Shelling and I'll have to move for whatever reason, and then it's like, oh, man. And then, you know, but, you know, you learn.
Good stuff.
So, like, it's all situational.
Gotcha. So like you said, open up with Holy Fire and Penance, and then Smite, Smite, Smite to start building your stacks of Archangel, right? Or Evangelism.
Mm-hmm. And so, you also want to start with a shield. Like, before a boss pull, I will put a shield on the tank, and I will put Prayer of Mending on the tank.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you now, during all that, you're still throwing power shields and POMs out? Are you keeping your AoE heal on cooldown? Your 90. level 90. Yeah, are you Divine Starring on cooldown? Are you saving that?
It all depends. Halo has a longer cooldown, so I tend to time it with certain abilities within the boss fight. So for Mercius, I use it after the little globby things go into the water. I don't even know what you would call it. And for Protectors, I use it with Calamity after it goes off. And I time it with Archangel because that increases the heal of it. It's so much more beneficial if you have Archangel up when you're using these level 90 talents because it increases the healing that they do. So some stuff you can use on CD and sometimes you can't. It all just depends on the boss fight.
Gotcha.
Now does Power Word Shield still give a mana return if it's used up?
Oh yeah, the Rapture proc.
Yeah, you still get Rapture from it. So it's
okay.
Yeah, so it's basically like you get like a free shield. And if you have the legendary meta gem, you get to shield all the things when it's up.
Yeah, I just remember that from Cataclysm. Like, it's been that long since I've healed on my Dispriest. I really haven't. I got to level 90 and haven't touched it since.
Actually have a weak aura that is a rapture tracker.
I do too. I highly recommend using it because you can tell when it's about to fall out and be like, oh, okay, let me put a little shield up on them again.
Yeah, so you know when, so you're not wasting that because that is a mana return, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as strong as it used to be, but Dispace doesn't really have that many mana issues anyway.
Yeah, I can. I'll tell you what, man.
Flashing all the things.
all right, let's say you get into some serious poop. What's going to be your cooldowns that's gonna save the day?
All right, so if everyone and their mom is taking damage and it is, like, overwhelming and you've already used your level 90 talent, you've already spirit shelled, and you're like, oh my god, what do I do now? I put Power Word Barrier down, which creates this nice little orb on the ground, and it increases the amount of damage that people take. And if people don't stand in it, life grip them or yell at them, because it's a waste of not to use it. If the tank is taking some crazy damage, you can put Pain Suppression on them, and that will also decrease the amount of damage that they take. I usually tell them that I'm about to do it so that they don't use one of their cooldowns in conjunction with it, because then it kind of wastes it. But it'll reduce all the damage that they take for 40% for 8 seconds. So it's a really great thing. And then if I've already used my health stone and someone else has taken some crazy damage again, I generally just use this for a tank, but I'll use a life swap and I'll swap health with them and then pop Desperate Prayer.
Do those share a cooldown, or would you be able to macro that? I know you're not a macro.
Well, Void Shift is 5 minutes and Desperate Prayer is 2 minutes, so I do not macro them together.
Well, I mean, do you know if they're on the same Glibble?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, you can Void Shift without using Desperate Prayer.
So, I'm just thinking if you could tie them into one button, then you could Void Shift and Desperate Prayer at the same time, really.
I mean, I could probably go find someone and... Okay, can you take damage?
Jump off.
Why? I'm going to life grip you up in the air and drop you down, and we're going to see what happens. I mean, I've never macroed them together just because they don't have the same...
I don't know. It might just be a bad idea.
Sometimes I use Desperate Prayer outside of using Void Shift. I don't always use it with that. Like, sometimes if I'm just, for whatever reason, taking a lot of damage and I'm standing and everything, I'll Desperate Prayer. Yeah. And then if I have to Void Shift, then I'll just self-penance myself if I don't have a health stone up.
Gotcha. So that's it. Your main, your barrier, which is like your raid power word shield for the raid, right? It's that big.
Yeah, kind of.
Big bubble. And then a couple other little ones. Is there any like advanced tips and tricks? I know you were joking about this earlier, but is there really anything like you want to take it to the next level? Because I've been playing mine casually, honestly, for a long time, and I feel like I do okay with it. Hand and I, two healed, flex part one, which isn't saying much, but yeah. You know, I was on.
Cute.
Well, what? So you solo flex, that's fine.
If they would let me, yeah. I try to solo heroics, but they won't let me. I'm like, can I solo? If I asked,
isn't that a
actually
thing, didn't the Disc Priest solo heal Garrosh?
Yeah, a lot of healers. Probably a priest did it, a shaman did it, I think a druid did it, because the way that the boss fight went is it was just a lot easier just to solo heal it. But they supposedly nerfed it, so it's a little bit easier. I've actually thought about killing my co-healer so that I could solo heal stuff and rank. And actually...
Life swapping and gripping them into crap.
I'm sorry, I didn't do that. With my old guild, Potato, yes, I was in a guild called Potato, we were working on Neuroshin, I think, and the co-healer died, and I ended up ranking. So after that, I was like, I wonder if I can kill him in other boss fights and see how well I do. Because my healing like went like through the roof because it was just me and a tank and a couple of DPS, and I was the only healer alive. So I was like, awesome. I wonder... I tried convincing my guild to let me heal spoils, but they didn't buy it. I was like, I can Halo. That'll hit most people. I can run back and forth. Right. It'll totally work.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Now, I know. Haha, it's cute. You two healed it. But literally, my priest is very much an alt. So it's, for us, I thought that was cool. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's an alt. I was in there, just smiting my heart out, and we got through it, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
I mean, it really just comes down to knowing when to use your level 90 talent and when not to. really using Archangel to its full benefit. I mean, with the two-piece, you get an increase to crit, and so there are some fights where I literally use Archangel on cooldown because it increases my DPS by a substantial amount. Mm-hmm. And also, with the minor glyph, the glyph of Shaw, that actually takes it off of the global cooldown, so a lot of people use that because of that.
So here's the question, then. As you gain those stacks, are the stacks called Evangelism and the skill is called Archangel? So as you gain those stacks of Evangelism, then now if you sit on them, those give you a buff to your damage. And if you use them, they give you a buff to your healing. Is that how that works?
Yeah, it increases the damage and heals by your Penance, Smite, and Holy Fire as you're using it.
Maybe I understood it wrong. I thought now when you gain those stacks and you sit, like, you've got five stacks, it's lit up saying use me. Now if you sit on those, does that give you a different buff than when you use them then? Or
no, you would still just have five stack of Evangelism, but it would be buffing your Penance, your Smite, and your Holy Fire the entire time, and it reduces the mana cost of those spells.
Gotcha.
Too.
Okay.
So there are some times where I'll just sit with Evangelism because I don't want to use Archangel yet, because I know, like, some big raid damage is going to come out, so I want to pair my Archangel with, you know, Divine Star or with Halo or with Cascade because it increases the healing that it does.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then after I do it, then you literally just go back to Smite healing to build up the stacks again. So I actually have a weak aura for Evangelism, like right above where my healing frames are, so I can see how many stacks I have.
Now, we may need to change our macro segment to be a macro or a weak aura segment and just and get the string and let
people... I have a lot of weak auras. I have one for Rapture. I have one for all of my cooldowns. I have one for Evangelism.
Would you say weak auras is really important to your play as a Disc Priest?
I wouldn't say you would necessarily need it, but it just makes things a lot easier. Oh, and I also have one for my my meta gem. It just makes things easier because you're not constantly looking at, like, the corner of your screen or at what's lit up. You can see it right in front of your screen. Okay, I have five stacks of Evangelism. That means I can Archangel because I can tell the little icon for it being off cooldown isn't there, so I know I can use it. And it just makes things easier. And, you know, I have this little obnoxious thing in the middle of my screen that shows me that I can shield everybody because I got the proc from my meta gem. So I can go ahead and do that. And
that's awesome.
I just feel like it makes things easier.
So I'm just shooting out whatever pops into my mind because I've got all these questions. And I didn't put any of this into the notes. What's your take on the state of the legendary cloak in terms of Disc Priests?
Like, as far as which one you use, or...
Yeah, what are you doing here? Because I know, the healing one gives you that, spreads around your heals as, instead of an overheal, it sprinkles them around as heals. But as a Disc Priest, that seems kind of weird. Like, it may not be that...
I mean, the healing one is still fairly good for a Disc Priest. I found that I don't get as much from it as I do on my Druid. Like, my Druid, I can get that thing to pump up to, like, 15%. On my Priest, I'm lucky if I'm scraping at, like, 3 and 5. Oh. So there are some fights where I use the healing one, and there are some fights that I use the DPS one. But I have friends that Disc Priest that are, you know, in heroics and stuff, and they say that they just always use the healing one. So I think it just comes down to personal preference. Since I rate 10 man, I like to use the DPS one because it increases my DPS and it helps with keeping my Twisted Fate proc. But there are two fights specifically that I swap to the healing one, and that is Malkrock and Heroic Shamans, because the little green blobs like to eat my face, and I don't want to die, so I swapped to the healing one.
And what do you got? I know you got some questions, and I've just been, like, steamrolling.
You know, I don't, because I haven't played my priest. I've got no questions. And right now, it's, you know, I'm all the Holy Paladin. That's my focus. So, I don't even... I might, now that we're looking at, you know, 6 to 9 months for Draenor, Warlords, whatever, it might be, I'll probably end up playing my Disc Priest a bit, but right now, I don't know, I got no questions at the moment, so I can't even think of any.
Do we really think it's going to be 9 months before?
No.
I think it'll be earliest middle of summer, maybe a little bit earlier in the summer, or like September. End of summer. I don't think. That's what I'm thinking. It's like August or September.
I think they're doing the right thing. I think they're doing the right thing by saying, like, you know, it'll be out on or before, because, you know, what happens when they don't meet a specific date and everybody flips their nuts? But
the day they listed was the last day of fall. That's why they said it. They say it's going to be out in the fall, and that is the last day of fall. Despite it being almost Christmas, that is the last official day of fall. Mm-hmm. All right. That's enough. We weren't even supposed to mention that today.
You're the one that said it, dude. You.
I didn't say nothing. All right. So is there anything else that we need to know about disciplined priests and why we should use them and love them and revere them? And yeah.
I mean, they're really beneficial to a raid and even to your ego, because of absorbs are just in the current state of game where they're quite OP. And because of that, a lot of people will, you know, they'll see a holy priest and be like, lol, why are you holy? Like, you have disc. Why would you do anything else? And I mean, it's a really fun class to play. It's one of those classes that I think anyone can play it. But to play it to its full potential, you kind of have to practice a little bit more and kind of get used to, you know, your Archangel and your level 90 talents and all that stuff. But I personally have two Disc Priests at level 90, and that kind of happened on accident. But, you know, I still play both of them, so
You accidentally leveled to 90.
Well, I wasn't like, I'm leveling my Druid. Wait, why is my Priest 90? I thought I was leveling a Druid. I mean, I didn't accidentally do it. It wasn't in the plan. It kind of just happened, and then my raid was like, you're good at priest, keep healing. Okay. That's nice. The short end of the story.
All right, well, is that it? Are we good? Are we good on disciplined priests?
I want you to get stoked on priests and at least give yours a try, because I know I've been...
I started off
Shadow... This expansion.
Mine actually used to be Shadow.
Well,
Looking
at my priest here, I've got a level 450 dagger.
Oh, so you're right on par with your paladin.
Exactly. Okay. So what I could do is once I outheal Brett on my paladin with my 450 mace, I can use my priest here with his 450 dagger and do the same thing.
I feel like you might actually be able to outheal him, because when my guild was first gearing me up, I had a couple epic pieces, I had blues, and I had greens. I had no gems and no enchants, and I out-healed the other two healers, and I kept up with the other dispriest. So it is definitely doable. I'm just saying.
And you were level 87?
No, I was 90. Like, they literally brought me in like the day after I dinged, and I wasn't getting anything from LFR, and they're like, we'll just carry you. We're gonna three heal it. It's okay. We'll do Terrace. It'll be fine. And I was like, okay. And then after the first boss, they're like, yeah, you're never allowed to complain ever again, because I don't know where you just pulled those heals out, but that was kind of amazing to watch. And I was like, thanks.
That was awesome.
Disc OP.
Nice.
Buff priest.
Yeah. I actually made the other disc priest stop playing disc. He actually went shadow. He was for me one day. It was literally just like, you're better at disc than I am, and I'm totally okay with that. So I'm just going to go shadow. I'm like, okay.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Makes me feel better about myself.
All right.
Whatever helps you feel good about stealing all of the heals.
That's why I do LFR sometimes, so I can do 70% of the healing. And be top DPS.
Gosh. Nice.
I feel like we need to go do a flex or like LFR after this.
Maybe.
Just might. All right. What do we? So we're gonna skip a couple of these segments since we had.
Well, we have
nothing,
Kim.
But
we have Kim.
Yeah, but we've. I mean, I'm happy that everyone here stuck around. We're doing good. Finally on track, and we've got a brand new crowd control.
Hi,
Hi there, welcome to another Crowd Control PvP segment. This week there's been some pretty significant announcements with regards to Warlords of Draenor, as well as Season 15 dropping a couple of weeks ago with some fairly big changes there too. So let's get the show on the road. With the new season, we saw an increase to Battleground Honor, an Arathai Basin battle for Gunaeus and Eye of the Storm. They've increased the frequency in which you get bonus honour based on the points your team has earned. Currently, you earn bonus honour every 260 points, 200 for call to arms matches, and in these BGs it's been lowered to 130 and 100 in call to arms. Silver Shard Mines is currently 265 and 160 in call to arms, and it's been lowered to 200 and 130 in call to arms. Cap the Flag matches like Warsong and Twin Peaks. The Focus Assault is now applied 1 minute after both flags are picked up, which is 2 minutes earlier than currently, and then the stacks increase one per minute. Plus you get bonus honour for every enemy flag prevented, which is 18 for every one that you prevent in the three. And Strands of Ancients, double the team bonus for destroying a gate or preventing it from being destroyed. Only changes to flag games apply in rated battlegrounds, so it's worth mentioning that too. Alright, for Warlords of Draenor, they've had announcements for CC plan changes, which are well overdue. Let's start off with them. It's removed silence from interrupt, removed disarms, reduced DR categories. Root type abilities have no DR category, but have the duration reduced. All stuns share the same DR category. All incapacitates and sometimes mesmerise share the same category and are merged with horror DR category. No more instant cast with cooldowns, and Cyclone can now be dispelled. As well as what we already know, the new PvP world zone, Azran Island, and the battleground score and UI improvements, updated rewards, the skirmish matches, and all the spectators in arena. This week we also seen a dev water cooler announced, and there were some fairly significant changes to the healing for that. Basically what's happening is the player's health has been bumped up to be relative to your damage and your heals. They want players to be more intuitive, and they're reducing the amount of smart heals. Your mana efficiency for AoE has been reduced, and they'll have removed all most low cost, low throughput heals like Nourish, Holy Light and Healing Wave. They're trying to reduce instant cast, so they have put a cast time of 1.5 seconds on spells like Eternal Flame, Wild Growth and Halo, also Prayer of Mending. Overall, they're aiming to have less burst damage and healing, more triage healing, and having battle fatigue and resilience reduced in PvP. Coupled with the changes for CC for Warlords, I think this should be a really interesting time for healers in PvP, and it's worth looking forward to, I feel. That about wraps up this week's segment. I'd just like to take a second to say thank you to the kind folks over at Azeroth Roundtable and the Chaos Portal for having me on the show this week. I had a blast, guys, and it was great fun. If you get a chance, you should check out their Twitter pages at AzerothRT and at Chaos Portal Show, and hit them up with a follow. As for me, as always, you can find my contact details on the trainingdummies.com contact us page. I hope you've all enjoyed the show, and I hope you have an epic week.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right, who learned what the hard way this week?
Oh, gosh. Oh.
I got... nothing. Oh, I learned the hard way that currently I'm a bad paladin healer, but I shall remedy that.
Ah, dude.
It's a good thing you can heal Flex 1 with only two healers, because we only had 2.5.
Well, if you have a disc priest, all you need is one.
Apparently. Apparently.
Vera, what do you got?
Well, this wasn't from this week, but I learned the hard way not to try to cheese mechanics in LFR. So there's this thing on Malkrock, and it goes with the Twist of Fate ability. So what you do is you take all of your shiny gear off, and then you put it back on because it lowers your health. And then you put, like, something on yourself to heal yourself just a little bit. just so that you get the Twist of Fate buff. And then when the Malkorok fight starts, because you do it like right before it, you can have like almost 100% uptime of Twist of Fate. So one week, I went into LFR with my boyfriend, and I was like, look what I can do with Twist of Fate. And I tried to do it, and they pulled the boss fight before I could put my gear back on. So I was basically healing. So I had like 25k health. I had my weapons on, and I think my trinkets and my rings, and that was it. And I still did like 30k HPS. I was like, oh my god, I have no gear on. This is hilarious. I left right after that because I was afraid someone would say something. Because last time I did it, I did hit over 500 HPS. So, well, 500k. So it was pretty funny. And yeah, I've done it on normal a couple times. But, you know, they do a timer, so it makes it a little bit easier so that my character's not naked. But no one noticed. I eventually died because everything hits a lot harder when you have 20k health.
And you think?
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
My boyfriend kept giggling at me, and I was like, shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
That's freaking awesome. I don't have any of my normal stories. I'm sure I do. I'm sure I've failed miserably. But something I did learn the hard way was that if you offer to help a friend's guild with the Stay Classy achievement, make sure no one else is already about to level that race or spec or whatever the freaking heck it is. Because, yeah, that's good times. When you're working your butt off and then all of a sudden, ding, someone else nailed the Classy Torrens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go ahead and look that up ahead of time, or maybe look through the guild roster, make sure no one's already here working on it.
Right. Alright, let's get into this then.
Hey, don't matter that you're out of town, he's got some shirts to send over, so let's turn it all around and scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to
All right, we've got some hen love tonight. Of course, to our guildies, the Horderlies on the Deathwing server. I need to send some hen love over to the folks at Catalyst Gaming Media, the media group we're a part of. And of course, to Vero for coming on to our show this evening and sticking around after all the technical difficulties we have had this evening. thanks for coming and thanks for staying. Actually, same with everyone who stuck around in the chat room, too. Yeah, I'm surprised anyone's still left in there after, what would we stop this, 3 or 4 times tonight already?
Oh, yeah. Hard mode. Yeah, we create our own hard modes here.
Apparently we do. Rob, what you got?
Just to echo what you said there, really everybody who stuck with us. Vero, for coming out and clearing up. I know I had a lot of just rapid fire questions, so I appreciate it, because some stuff I have no idea and I choose the passive, you know. Huge thanks to Jab Cup. He's helped me out a lot. He helped do some overlays for my stream, and he's just been like a total rock star helping out with some lobbies. Just I think I mentioned earlier, just getting through those really stupid parts of, like, or you know, Burning Crusade, or like right before you go through the dark portal, and it's just slow, you just hit a wall with that stuff. So huge thanks to him, and yeah, I think that's about it for the list. Vera, what do you got?
I want to thank you guys for having me on the show.
Yay!
Everyone in chat that came to hang out, even though it took like 5 times the charm to, you know, get robots invading and all this crazy stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, dude, Jab just, he helped us get Classy Undead during the show tonight.
Nice. Boom.
Good job.
For reals.
You beat the game.
Yeah, you win.
All right, Let's see here. You could find the show on iTunes and Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. Before we wrap up this episode, though, Vero, why don't you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, or send hen love to you?
You can follow me on Twitter at VeroIcone. I am also on YouTube, which actually my YouTube channel is youtube.com/nakochan. Posts a bunch of guide videos and all this other stuff. And that's pretty much it.
Dat Nakochan. Oh, crap. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
All right, let me scroll down here and get to this thing. Thanks, guys, so much for coming out for episode 64 and just sitting through. If you're listening on the download, you probably have no idea what kind of foolishness went on tonight, but just know that we had to work overtime to get this one put out for you. So thank you for catching us. Thank you for hanging out. You could follow our Twitter, and we'll make sure to keep you informed on all of the things Training Dummies. That is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind_HoarderLies. And Kim is Kim with a Y, Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!